Exame Final Nacional de Inglês, Prova 550, Segunda Fase. Ensino Secundário, 2026. 11º ano de escolaridade. Continuação, Bienal. Vai agora realizar a parte A da prova, compreensão do oral. Escute com muita atenção e siga as instruções. Mesmo que não compreenda alguma palavra ou frase, continue a resolver a prova e mantenha-se em silêncio. A parte A da prova é composta por 7 itens relativos a 2 textos, texto 1 e texto 2. Antes de ouvir cada texto, dispõe de alguns segundos para ler os respectivos itens. Vai ouvir cada texto 2 vezes. Enquanto estiver a ouvir, pode anotar as suas respostas no enunciado. Lembre-se de que terá de as assinalar posteriormente na folha de respostas. Dispõe de alguns segundos no final de cada audição para assinalar e verificar as suas respostas. Atenção, toda a prova será em inglês. Vire agora a página do enunciado para dar início à parte A da prova, compreensão do oral.
Text 1. You will hear 3 teenagers talking about the radio. Match the names Sophia, Dylan or Bruce in column A with the ideas they express in column B. Use all the ideas once. On the answer sheet, for each letter, mark the correct numbers. Now read the ideas in column B. You have 20 seconds to read them. Now listen. Sophia.
I know most people my age don't listen to the radio much, but I actually do. Every morning, on my way to school, I tune in to a local station. I like the mix of songs, quick news, and funny comments from the presenters. It feels spontaneous, not like those perfect playlists on streaming apps. I also enjoy hearing people calling in and sharing their stories. It makes me feel connected to others in my city. Still, I have to admit that when I really want to listen to something specific, I go straight to my favorite streaming app. Radio's great for company, but not for control.
Dylan.
To be honest, I don't listen to the radio very often. My parents have it on in the kitchen, so sometimes I hear it while I'm having breakfast, but that's about it. I prefer podcasts or playlists because I can choose what I want and skip what I don't. Radio feels too random to me. Still, I do see its appeal. The presenters sound friendly, and live shows have this energy that recorded stuff doesn't. It's also good for discovering new songs by accident. So yeah, even though I wouldn't say the radio is part of my life, I get why some people still love it.
Bruce.
Radio has always been a part of my daily routine. My family listens to it while we cook, drive, or even do housework. I love how it mixes music, talk shows, and news. It's like a window to the world. I especially enjoy the late-night shows, where people call to share personal stories or problems. What I like most is that radio connects people without screens. We're focusing on what they're actually saying, rather than being distracted by what they look like. Of course, I also use my phone for music, but the radio has something special. Maybe it's the surprise of not knowing what comes next.
Listen again. Sophia.
I know most people my age don't listen to the radio much, but I actually do. Every morning, on my way to school, I tune in to a local station. I like the mix of songs, quick news, and funny comments from the presenters. It feels spontaneous, not like those perfect playlists on streaming apps. I also enjoy hearing people calling in and sharing their stories. It makes me feel connected to others in my city. Still, I have to admit that when I really want to listen to something specific, I go straight to my favorite streaming app. Radio's great for company, but not for control.
Dylan.
To be honest, I don't listen to the radio very often. My parents have it on in the kitchen, so sometimes I hear it while I'm having breakfast, but that's about it. I prefer podcasts or playlists because I can choose what I want and skip what I don't. Radio feels too random to me. Still, I do see its appeal. The presenters sound friendly, and live shows have this energy that recorded stuff doesn't. It's also good for discovering new songs by accident. So yeah, even though I wouldn't say the radio is part of my life, I get why some people still love it.
Bruce.
Radio has always been a part of my daily routine. My family listens to it while we cook, drive, or even do housework. I love how it mixes music, talk shows, and news. It's like a window to the world. I especially enjoy the late-night shows, where people call to share personal stories or problems. What I like most is that radio connects people without screens. We're focusing on what they're actually saying, rather than being distracted by what they look like. Of course, I also use my phone for music. But the radio has something special. Maybe it's the surprise of not knowing what comes next.
Now check your answers. That is the end of the listening of text one. Text two. You will hear a podcast about influencers. Choose the correct option, A, B, or C. On the answer sheet, for each item, mark the correct option. You have 45 seconds to read the items. Now listen. Welcome back to the Zed Podcast. I'm Jamie, and today we're talking about something that keeps showing up on our screens, influencers. Last week, my 12-year-old niece begged me to buy a super expensive skincare brand because her favourite influencer swears by it. I couldn't believe it. She's 12. That got me thinking how trustworthy are influencers and how much influence do they have on our young people's lives. To explore this, we've invited content creator Liam Cruz, who's got over 2 million followers, and Dr. Eva Santosh, psychologist and researcher in media literacy. Let's start with you, Liam.
Hey, Jamie. Thanks for having me. I think there's a big misunderstanding about influencers. Most of us are creative people sharing what we love: fashion, gaming, lifestyle. We build communities by being real and connecting with people. Sure, I post about brands sometimes, but I'm always honest. If I don't like something, I won't promote it.
So it's all about honesty and connection. Eva, you see it differently, right?
Yes. I admire creativity, but we must remember that influencing is also marketing. The problem is that teenagers don't always see it that way. Many influencers mix personal stories with paid promotions, and young followers can't tell what's genuine or what's an ad. Research shows that teens, because they're still developing critical thinking, are easier to persuade. Hidden advertising makes them want to look or live like the influencer.
Liam, you've grown your audience really fast. What's your secret?
There's no magic, just strategy. You have to know the platforms everyone's using. Short videos get attention. Timing, hashtags, collaborations, and being consistent matter too. But emotion is key. If you make people laugh or feel supported, they'll stay.
So it's all about building trust, our feelings, and working together. Eva, what do you make of that?
Oh, absolutely. However, constant exposure to perfect images creates what we call the highlight reel effect. Teens start comparing themselves, thinking they're not good enough. That can affect young people's confidence in how they see themselves. Another problem is misinformation. Influencers giving financial or even mental health advice without proper training.
So, here's a question. Can someone be authentic and commercial at the same time? Liam?
Definitely. Authenticity doesn't mean refusing to work with brands. It means choosing the right ones. I turn down offers that don't fit my values. Content creation is hard work. Planning, filming, editing. Of course, I label my paid posts. My followers trust me because I'm selective.
That's good practice, Liam, but not everyone does the same. Many influencers use emotional storytelling to sell. This product changed my life, for example. That's powerful language for young audiences. I'm not against influencers, but we need transparent influencers and brands.
Sounds like we're talking about the power to influence choices. Eva, many parents listening probably feel worried. What can families do to help teens deal with this?
First, communicate. Talk about what teens watch and why they like certain creators. No judging. Then teach media literacy. Show them how videos are edited and that influencers are often paid to promote products. Encourage other interests. And yes, set rules. No phones at dinner, for example. But most importantly, parents should model good habits themselves. If they're always scrolling, kids will copy that.
Right, lead by example. Easier said than done. Liam, are influencers being blamed too much?
Sometimes. Social pressure existed long before social media. Magazines and TV used to show perfection too. The difference now is that we can respond and use our platforms for good. I've promoted body positivity campaigns and mental health awareness. I even tell my followers to take breaks from social media.
Fair enough. Maybe the responsibility is shared. Still, Eva, could influencers and educators actually work together?
Absolutely. Collaboration is key. Influencers could partner with schools, NGOs, or psychologists to promote responsible online habits. When positive messages come from someone teens admire, they listen. We just need accountability from both platforms and creators.
Well, this has been a fascinating conversation. Thank you both. Listen again. Welcome back to the Zed Podcast. I'm Jamie, and today we're talking about something that keeps showing up on our screens, influencers. Last week, my 12-year-old niece begged me to buy a super expensive skincare brand because her favourite influencer swears by it. I couldn't believe it. She's 12. That got me thinking how trustworthy are influencers and how much influence do they have on our young people's lives. To explore this, we've invited content creator Liam Cruz, who's got over 2 million followers, and Dr. Eva Santosh, psychologist and researcher in media literacy. Let's start with you, Liam.
Hey, Jamie. Thanks for having me. I think there's a big misunderstanding about influencers. Most of us are creative people sharing what we love: fashion, gaming, lifestyle. We build communities by being real and connecting with people. Sure, I post about brands sometimes, but I'm always honest. If I don't like something, I won't promote it.
So it's all about honesty and connection. Eva, you see it differently, right?
Yes. I admire creativity, but we must remember that influencing is also marketing. The problem is that teenagers don't always see it that way. Many influencers mix personal stories with paid promotions, and young followers can't tell what's genuine or what's an ad. Research shows that teens, because they're still developing critical thinking, are easier to persuade. Hidden advertising makes them want to look or live like the influencer.
Liam, you've grown your audience really fast. What's your secret?
There's no magic, just strategy. You have to know the platforms everyone's using. Short videos get attention. Timing, hashtags, collaborations, and being consistent matter too. But emotion is key. If you make people laugh or feel supported, they'll stay.
So it's all about building trust, our feelings, and working together. Eva, what do you make of that?
Oh, absolutely. However, constant exposure to perfect images creates what we call the highlight reel effect. Teens start comparing themselves, thinking they're not good enough. That can affect young people's confidence in how they see themselves. Another problem is misinformation. Influencers giving financial or even mental health advice without proper training.
So, here's a question. Can someone be authentic and commercial at the same time? Liam?
Definitely. Authenticity doesn't mean refusing to work with brands. It means choosing the right ones. I turn down offers that don't fit my values. Content creation is hard work. Planning, filming, editing. Of course, I label my paid posts. My followers trust me because I'm selective.
That's good practice, Liam, but not everyone does the same. Many influencers use emotional storytelling to sell. This product changed my life, for example. That's powerful language for young audiences. I'm not against influencers, but we need transparent influencers and brands.
Sounds like we're talking about the power to influence choices. Eva, many parents listening probably feel worried. What can families do to help teens deal with this?
First, communicate. Talk about what teens watch and why they like certain creators. No judging. Then teach media literacy. Show them how videos are edited and that influencers are often paid to promote products. Encourage other interests. And yes, set rules. No phones at dinner, for example. But most importantly, parents should model good habits themselves. If they're always scrolling, kids will copy that.
Right, lead by example. Easier said than done. Liam, are influencers being blamed too much?
Sometimes. Social pressure existed long before social media. Magazines and TV used to show perfection too. The difference now is that we can respond and use our platforms for good. I've promoted body positivity campaigns and mental health awareness. I even tell my followers to take breaks from social media.
Fair enough. Maybe the responsibility is shared. Still, Eva, could influencers and educators actually work together?
Absolutely. Collaboration is key. Influencers could partner with schools, NGOs, or psychologists to promote responsible online habits. When positive messages come from someone teens admire, they listen. We just need accountability from both platforms and creators.
Well, this has been a fascinating conversation. Thank you both. Now check your answers. That is the end of the listening of text 2. That is the end of part A.